Welcome back to episode 58 of A People's Guide to Publishing, the podcast. I am your host, Joe Beal, the autistic publisher, author of A People's Guide to Publishing, the book, founder and CEO of Microcosm.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the vice president for special paperwork projects here at Microcosm.
This week, we have two reader questions that I'm going to meld them together. Question one is, how do you make zines? Question two is, this is going on the permanent record. How much editorial and production work should go into making a zine?
These are such good questions.
These are great questions. So,
what's a zine, Joe?
A zine is this magic combination of a love letter and a book about a subject that you're passionate about.
It's usually like photocopied and stapled, kind of pamphlet style. There's a lot of different ways to do them. Usually pretty lo-fi, but sometimes they're very high production values. You get to choose. It's your zine.
Mm-hmm. And it can truly, the subject matter can be about anything. Historically, they were about wrestling, science fiction, and then morphed dramatically into, you know, music, the like. But now, you know, you can have anything from zines about shoes to zines about women's liberation to, you know, zines about mayonnaise.
It's what self-publishing was before we became fixated on creating book-shaped objects.
Yeah, yeah. So the way that you make a zine is you think about the interest that you cannot stop thinking about. You really, really don't want to write about, you know, there's all these modern things in the modern world that are modernly terrible about how you can, like, fast-track your writing to make you successful and, you know, all this and that. And I feel like that just completely gets away from the purpose of writing when you are just writing to topical interests of the minute, whereas the point of a zine is exactly the opposite. It's to write about something that you care about regardless of the size of the audience that is interested in that moment.
And so then what do you do once you've, like, thought about, once you've identified your topic of passion and interest?
I mean, I would say don't think about it too much, but I would say think about, are you engaging this at an entry-level point? Like, are you writing about breakfast cereal for the general public, or are you writing about breakfast cereal for your fellow collectors?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a good thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're writing about an obscure, you know, like, I get these zines that are really talking about, like, computer coding at a level, you know, and I've done that stuff in the 80s and 90s. I don't do it anymore. So when I get the zines that are, like, neck deep in it, I can't figure out what the hell they're talking about. But when we got a zine about gay hookups on bulletin board systems on computers in the 80s, I was like, this is a world I totally understand. You know, but these are very different things, you know. So you want to write to the level that your reader is at. You know, we got a submission yesterday that was about how peer counseling exists, was literally the pitch of the zine. It's like, peer counseling, it's a thing, you know? And so I said, go back to the drawing board and make it peer counseling, what it can do for you.
Mm.
Because there's a, you know, you could also be like, robots, they exist. And, you know,
right, you need though a we book did, for the reader.
Though we did get a new book in that tells you about how to embrace your new robot overlords, so I guess there's that. If you dial it way, 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 way back, and then you write about it, thinking about your reader, what they know, what they need to know, what they would like to know, what's, like, to you the most interesting things, and then you take it a step further and you say, how would I like to change or impact this culture differently? And I feel like all of the best authors in the world approach writing with that in mind. You know, if you approach writing with, like, how am I going to make the most money, you're probably not. But if you approach writing with, how can I make the greatest impact on culture, you will make to some degree of an impact on culture, which is a much more achievable goal, and, like, it's going to be much more personally meaningful for you. Money is good, I get it. I buy breakfast cereal too. Two part two of the question, you know, it's an important part also. How much time should go into editorial and production work? Well, you know,
I think it depends. Like, yeah. I mean, if you're like making this passion project, spend the amount of time you want to spend on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a publisher who's publishing somebody else's passion project, that's a whole different question. And I think that's the one we're qualified to answer.
I think we're qualified to answer both, Eleanor.
Well, one of them doesn't have an answer. Nobody's qualified to answer that question except for themselves.
Right. And I think that is the answer I was going to give. But, actually, gotcha. I know that's the answer I was going to give.
Do you too.
As professionals, which we argue and claim ourselves to be.
We do get paid to do this, so technically.
We do get paid to do this. That's...
Even now.
Going to take me a minute to recover from. But the... So, two parts to that. You know, we approach this in a multifold way. If we're publishing somebody's zine, and we aren't the author, we look at it as... You know, two ways. Is this something where there is potential to expand it into a longer work, and this is sort of like us getting, like taking the temperature and seeing like what people would want from something like this? Or is this something where there really isn't more to say on the subject than 20 pages? You know, you run into that a lot, where you really have a cool proposal and idea, but there's just not anything to say, you know, beyond the basics.
Which is awesome. I feel like if more people published their ideas in 20 pages instead of 200, the world would be a better place.
I mean, have you ever read the book where you read the first chapter and then the rest of the book is just fluff? Or actually somebody recommended a book to me the other day and they were like, yeah, just read the last 30 pages and skip the first 270. And I was like, wow, you really saved me a good chunk of time right there. Thank you. What a good friend. You know, that's sort of the conundrum the publishing industry is stuck in, is to like make a book 2795, it can't be 20 pages. You know, it has to have the appearance of substance, you know, even if there it is merely an illusion. But with a zine, you can really whittle it down to its basics, you know. And so our metric is we try to put an hour of editorial into it if it basically can never be expanded. And then we put 2 hours of editorial into it if that extra hour will create greater rewards later, if that makes sense. So if you do a shitty job the first time, maybe nobody's going to come back. But if you do a good job the first time and there is interest and, you know, all of your readers write back and they're like, that was so awesome, I'd really love to hear more about this facet of that subject, you know, like, why are there no green flamingos in the world? Like, I feel like that would be the most interesting thing for the scientist to tell us about, like, why has biology gone in this one particular direction? You know, your readers are your greatest developmental editors because they know what they want, they know what they're interested in, they know what they will or will not put time into, and they will tell you that freely. You know, it's like the dream of every marketing department is to not have to shoot in the dark and roll dice without having any sort of directives. You know, to the production end, I don't know that we put even an hour into most of those.
I mean, I think if you're just starting out and you're learning production, a zine is a really good way to learn, and you shouldn't necessarily, like, I mean, time yourself to see how long it takes for sure, and then, like, aim to beat that time, but, like, you're not gonna hurt your new company if you are learning in design on your zine.
Right. And the stakes are lower general. The stakes are lower all around, so if you're not great at doing typesetting, pagination, layout, cover design, it doesn't matter as much. The average book costs us five figures, normally about $20,000 all told. That's an average. Some are more than that, horrifyingly. That has to take serious consideration and evaluation to looking into, like, okay, what is the potential payoff of this? Like, what is the most likely outcome? What is the worst outcome? And what is the best outcome? And can we afford all three? You know, we have to really evaluate that. Whereas with a zine, you know, putting 2 to 3 hours of total labor behind it on our end, plus printing, plus reprinting incessantly, you know, our cost in the first year is normally about $500. It's much better. You know, our initial outlay costs between development, marketing, design, editorial is about $200 and printing.
Like, what about proportionate to the earnings?
The proportion that earning on the zine is lower also because you can't you know, we use a factor of 10 from the printing cost is 10% of the retail price. So if it costs us $2 to print A People's Guide to Publishing the book, so the retail price is $19.95. So that's good math, you know, that means that we get, you know, even when we sell it at a deep discount to a wholesaler, there's still enough to cover editorial, production, printing, design,
royalties,
and everybody else that, you know, we're committed to. And then after that, we still have 10%, or I'm sorry, we still can cover the costs of remaining unsold inventory, and we have 3% left over that the company retains that goes to pay for when we screw up on a different project.
Or when there's a global pandemic. Yeah. Be cautious about getting money. Carried away with your zine being like full color and beautifully designed and gold embossed and production values. Like, make it cheap, make it quick, get it out in the world. If the information in it can't carry it, then you have a problem if it has to be all in the design.
Yeah, we got, I mean, it happens all the time where people come to us with their zine and it's like full color watercolor paintings throughout, you know, every page, and they want us to publish it because they created it and then found out that they can't afford to print this at a cost that they can afford to distribute it at.
But we can't either.
And exactly, that's the trouble where we, you know, the number we would need to print of that is more than we could sell in our lifetimes, because we have made that mistake before and we have learned that lesson, and you know, it's a good lesson to learn. There's plenty of things that we can sell tens of thousands of, but we really need to test it a little bit at a time. We can't start at 5,000.
Black and white photocopies are your friends.
And so, yeah, as I was saying, you don't want to create something where you have a lot of cost as a zine, because the rewards aren't tremendous either. So you really want to make it something that you are deeply passionate about, a love letter to your interests that has an audience and reads well.
Well, this has been A People's Guide to Publishing, the podcast.
I am your host, Joe Beal, author of A People's Guide to Publishing, founder and CEO of Microcosm.
And I'm Ellie Blue. I've made some zines.
Oh, yeah. I made a handful myself.
Thanks for tuning in. Send us your zines.
Yeah. Till next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosm publishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.